Frankie Knuckles Disco Shimmy auf Flux FM. Es ist 17:15 und wir sprechen über den Film Eden Lost in Music. Ein Streifen, der die Ursprünge der französischen House Music genauso thematisiert wie den Einfluss dieser Sounds auf eine ganze Generation. Er erzählt aber eben auch das schizophrene Leben des DJs Paul, gespielt von Félix de Givry, das sich zwischen Ekstase und Ernüchterung bewegt. Die Regisseurin des Filmes, Mia Hansen-Löwe, ist bei mir im Studio. Heute Abend wird sie im Lichtspielhaus Publikumsfragen beantworten. Jetzt ist aber erstmal hier, um meine Fragen zu beantworten. Schönen guten Tag, Mia. Bonjour und bienvenue. Hello.
Hallo.
Hallo. How are you doing today? Is everything fine?
I'm fine, thank you.
Looking forward to tonight's screening?
I am, actually. It's first screening of this film in Germany, so I'm pretty excited about it.
And it was a good choice to go to Berlin, I think, for the first screening of that movie in Germany, because there's going to be electro music freaks who are gonna love that movie.
Probably,
I think.
I don't know if they'll love it, but there's definitely a public for electro music here, and I'm curious about how they will react to the film, which has to do a lot with music, but maybe not the music precisely that people are listening to here. And I'm curious about their reaction.
No, but it's talking about the roots, which are the same roots that have been building the music that people are listening here to today. So I think there's gonna be a lot of connections for the German house producers and DJs as well when they're watching that movie. The movie does talk about the power of music as well, not only about the music itself, but the power of music to connect people and to form cliques maybe out of people. And I've read that you did want to make a film about cliques this time rather than another film about lovers. Why was that so important to you that you put a clique in the center of your movie this time?
A clique?
Yeah, a group of people rather than two
clique,
lovers.
Of course, yeah.
It's a French word, actually.
That's why it sounded strange to me weird or whatever. The film, this idea of a film seemed kind of new to me. It was a new territory to explore. I had never made a film before about a clique, as you said, or about a group of friends. It were all my previous films were always about individuals, people rather lonely in somehow. And in this case, you can also say he gets lonelier and lonelier. But first, there is this group of friends. And there was this idea to make a film about not only about a coming of age story, not only about a person who grows up and who lives in the nightlife and a new music, but also about a generation, a whole generation, and through his pathway to talk about this entire generation. And so that was pretty important for me to try to make all this group of friends and alive too.
Yeah. When you were witnessing your brother's DJ sets in the 90s, because your brother, we have to talk about that as well, he was really important for that movie and the career that he had. But when you were witnessing his radio shows, when you were visiting his DJ gigs back in the 90s, did you think back then, wow, this is a musical revolution, this is the soundtrack of a whole generation, this is going to be big, we're going to talk about this in 20 years? Or did that happen later when you look back that you were like, oh, this actually was something big, I can make a movie about this?
Well, I never thought of the future at that time, and that's something that was actually specific at that time, is that we were really into the present, and and there was to me there is a poetry in that, like the fact that people were so much into the present and not into the future, just like now. So I would never have thought, oh, I'm gonna make a film about it later, and actually I had no idea what I was going to do later. But I think I was aware that there was something happening that was strong, that had to do with modernity, with youth, with the energy of youth. And even, I mean, the thing with the Daft Punk, they were very, very young, but still at that time, I think people already knew there was something big that was happening. And something that kind of proves it to me now is that I realize when I talk to people who have known them from that time, everybody can remember the moment where they were listening to Daft Punk
for the first time.
And
wow.
They knew in which situation, which position they were. That's also true for me. And I think, yes, people knew that there was something happening with the music.
Yeah, and what you just said is really interesting, because it actually was a movement that had no future, but it was not like in the sense of punks that there is no future, but the electronic house and the techno music scene that was like is as if you were living in the future, right? That what one feeling. What
yes,
one feeling.
Exactly. And there was a real hedonism about it. The people didn't care about earning money and what's building their life and, you know, making a living out of it. It was really about enjoying partying, and there was not a guilt feeling about it like it would be today. And that's something that was very different. And for me, making this film was about getting back to these feelings again.
Yeah. And your brother helped you out a lot with getting back to those feelings, because he has been a well-known DJ in the Paris music scene as well, and he did his own radio shows, he did his own gigs, and he was really important for that movie because he shared your experiences with you. He kind of like co-wrote the script, right?
Yes, he was very much involved in the writing of the script. First, I just basically interviewed him, and the more it went on, the more fascinating it was for me to get all these memories back from him, mm-hmm. and to exchange all of our memories. And he started to write small dialogues, the ones that had to do with his friends or with very specific music issues, and I really liked the kind of tone and atmosphere he gave to the film that felt really like so authentic. And yeah. The more it went on, the more involved I got him into the project. And then of course he was there during all the process. I mean, he helped me with the finding the money, dealing with the artists, the music rights, choosing the songs, and then preparing the film, choosing the proper set. He even gave his we even talked together about the clothes and cool. all the things that had to do with the reconstitution of that time.
Yeah, but what I love about the movie is that it's not only about ecstasy, it's about the evil parts of being a DJ or being a part of that scene as well. It's about the fact that after a few ecstatic nights, you probably end at home and you'll be sad and you'll be depressed because all your energy has been used up. So how important was the fact that your brother opened up in that way, that he told you those stories as well? He didn't only tell you the good parts of his life as a DJ, but his bad parts as well, right?
I think I knew the bad parts quite well myself, because I, as a sister, I mean we've been very close, and I had been some kind of a witness of that, and I knew there wasn't only the good parts of it. But what I try to do is to show both, basically, and not do a moralist film where you say to the people, be careful, you shouldn't go this and that direction, because yeah. this is what's gonna happen to you. I think
one night in a techno club can yeah. ruin your life, people.
Yeah, you know, that's I mean, I try to be lucid. I try to tell people the truth, because basically that's what I'm interested in, the truth. So I just try to say things as they are, as they were, but still I do think it's worth living it, and I think the experience was worth living it. But yeah. but I think we can both look at the good side of it and think that was an amazing moment in history and something quite unique, and at the same time see how destructive it has been too.
Yeah, that's true. Before we talk a bit more, let's listen to a band that reappears in your movie. Hier sind zwei Franzosen, die im Film auch mal nicht in den Club reingelassen werden, weil man sie halt nur mit Roboterhelm kennt. Hier sind Daft Punk mit Da Funk. Daft Punk mit Da Funk. Ein schönes Stück Musik, das auch im Film vorkommt, den wir gerade besprechen, Eden Lost in Music. Der neue Film von Mia Arsène Loewe wird heute Abend in den hackischen Höfe-Kinos prämiert, und wir quatschen noch ein bisschen auch über Daft Punk, die wirklich an mehreren Stellen auftauchen in dem Film. Der eben gehörte Song wird gezeigt in einem Zusammenhang, in dem die Band diesen Track zum ersten Mal präsentiert und ganz nervös hinterm DJ-Pult steht und guckt, ob überhaupt jemand tanzt. Dann werden Daft Punk wiederholt nicht in Clubs reingelassen, eben weil sie ohne Robotermasken nicht zu erkennen sind. Und am Schluss gibt's auch noch einen guten Witz über Daft Punk, den ich aber noch gar nicht erzählen möchte. Den müsst ihr euch dann im Film selbst angucken. I just told people that Daft Punk have been a part of your brother's clique as well, as your brother's was a DJ in the Parisian music scene. And I've read that Daft Punk were involved in the project from a very early stage of the movie, and that they let you use their music for like no money or a small amount of money. How did that deal with Daft Punk shape the movie?
Yes, well, that, yes, it's true that their support was pretty decisive for the film. We had them read the script in a very early stage because we were using the names and characters and music in the film. That's something we felt we couldn't avoid because they had been pretty close to my brother, or he had been close to them. I mean, it was the same kind of group of people and area, and we couldn't imagine making this film without portraying them in a way or another, and we just loved their music, and so we went to them, and they were very, I don't know how to say it, open and very helpful. They basically didn't try to influence the script in any way. They were just very respectful. One of them is also, I should say, pretty much of a cinephile, and he loved films, and he had seen my films and liked them, and so he basically trusted me, and they also kind of like my brother anyway. So they were very easy, and they, I don't know what they said to their manager exactly, but that allowed us to get the rights for the four songs we used of them in the film for a very symbolic and symbolical amount of money. And basically what we did is that we made the same deal with everybody, and I think because the Daft Punk had agreed on that symbolic price, everybody else almost, except maybe two or three, and they weren't, it's not even that they didn't accept, but they were basically we couldn't find them. Like, they were like, we wanted to have Womack and Womack Teardrops, but we could never find the right owners. So that's where we had troubles with like two or three disco songs, with all the garage songs. Thanks, not only because of that, but also thanks to the fact that the Daft Punk had given the rights for such a symbolic money, we could get.
I can imagine that if a movie director approaches you and he goes like, "I have that movie and I want to have your music in it," and you go like, "Oh, I don't know yet," and then you'll be like, "Yeah, but Daft Punk already said yes." Then most of the musicians would be like, "Oh, yeah, well, you can use my music. I've thought about it one more time."
It certainly helped in many ways, but I should also say that this other artist, the one who had who were garage producer, garage DJs, they were also happy, I think, to have a film that were paying tribute to them, because they knew it was more or less the first time that a fiction film was ever using their music, and I think they basically wanted to be in it. And also, a lot of them had known my brother personally, so it ended up being quite easy, whereas all the first producers I had, because I had three different producers on that film, and the two first ones thought it would be impossible to do because of the music rights, and it ended up being one of the easiest aspects of the film.
Yeah, no, but that's an advantage of having a brother who is in that scene and knows some of the musicians and knows how to get stuff. When I was watching the movie, I was like, oh man, there's so many parallels to what happened in Germany in the beginning and middle of the 90s. There were raves out of the city. There were some house and techno clubs right in the middle of the city were brand new. Nobody exactly knew what was happening in there. Even the police didn't know what was happening. They didn't even find out about the drugs in the very first years. And there's so many similarities that I see. But then once listening to the music and one realizes the French house music was about ecstasy and vocals and singing along and having a real positive party, while the Germans, they minimalized the stuff to the maximum. It was like a boom, 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 and that was like all the signals they used, and they were freaking out on that. So do you have an explanation for the fact that the both of these styles have the same roots, maybe, but they differ so much from each other?
You know, I think it's just a difference of taste and culture. I mean, at the same time, the more German type of techno has been very important in Paris too. I mean, and a lot of house music lovers in Paris they travel to Berlin to go to the clubs and to the rave parties at the same time. So so it's not like it was necessarily like two parallel things that didn't connect with each other, but it's true that in Paris you had something that you maybe didn't have in Berlin in the same way, which was some kind of passion for the garage music, which is a less purist version of techno, and more tradition, a kind of house music that is more connected to the traditions with gospel lyrics and voices, and there is a warmth in it that's different from the Berlin techno, which is colder and more minimalist. And I think this warmth is actually the one thing that really moves me so much about that music.
Me too. I mean, when I was watching the movie and I was looking at the scenes happening in the clubs, I was really like, that's the kind of techno music for the city of love, right? I mean, if you go into Paris, you don't want to listen to that minimal Berlin stuff. You want to listen to some love.
But it's really about love. But actually, when you listen to it carefully, you realize most of the songs are about love to God. But I'm not sure the people who were dancing on it really realized that it was so much religious.
Yeah, they were just ignoring the fact that it was about Christian love, maybe. And that's a good thing. I mean, sometimes you just ignore some details of a thing and you can totally enjoy it, right?
Yeah, it was funny because they were like singing like crazy and dancing and kissing each other and didn't realize it was all about like, thank you, Jesus, you know, for putting my feet on the ground and things like that.
Yeah. Well, congratulations again on that movie. It's a beautiful movie. Tonight it's going to be premiered in Hackische Höfe Kinos and one can see that movie from now on in theaters all over Germany, I suppose. I've read that you are already working on your next project. How far are you with that?
I am shooting in June. A film, very different one, not about parties or about music, a film about a philosophy teacher, and it's going to be with Isabelle Huppert.
Oh, wow. And it's going to be finished in the end of the year and we're going to be talking about it next year. Same time
maybe
next year. You come and visit us again.
With
that
pleasure.
Would be nice. Cool. One last question. Tonight's screening, there's going to be a little discussion as well. What are you going to talk about?
Oh, I don't know. It will depend on the questions. There will be some kind of what we call Q&A after the screening.
Oh, okay, see. So. Cool. Also, wer heute Abend noch mehr Fragen hat, wer sagte, oder wer beim Zuhören jetzt sagte, der Winson hat die wichtigsten Fragen nicht gestellt, der kann das heute Abend ja selber machen in den Hackische Höfe Kinos. Wir verlosen 2x2 Tickets für diesen tollen Film Eden Lost in Music von Mia Arson Love. Und wer da hingehen möchte, der ruft mich jetzt ganz schnell an. 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000 ist die Nummer. Zum Glück. Mia, merci beaucoup. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
And as soon as you finish the film about the philosopher's teacher and Isabelle Huppert, you come and visit us again and we'll talk a bit more.
I will.
Okay, see you. Bye-bye.